Welcome, Find the Numbers. Tyson Banker with here, Bench Clear Media. Happy to be back for the end of the season show. It took me a little bit to put together. Sorry about that being a little bit late, but just had a little family time, had a birthday last week, all those type of things. It was pretty fun. If you didn't see my tweet, my students spoiled me. Got a nice, proud grandpa coffee cup. So pretty good time overall, but a lot of football stuff happened. It's kind of actually grateful that I actually waited to do the end of the season show with the huge trades of Russell Wilson and Carson Wentz. And then just a couple hours ago, Amari Cooper was just dealt. So a lot of movement right now in the NFL. So the NFL has some eyes on it. Definitely with the baseball lockout finally ending, having some baseball in sight is nice. It's always a dead time in sports right now with basketball just kind of in the middle of things. Football is pretty dead other than the combine and some draft stuff that's kind of been coming up. And then we have baseball around the corner. But with that, just kind of keep that in mind. I'll be kind of altering the show as you go forward a little bit in the offseason. I'm going to kind of mix in some baseball content. Also been co-hosting on the flagship podcast with Rob Kent every other week as well. If you want to check that out, we kind of stay strictly to baseball, but those are kind of my two passions, the hobby, football and baseball. So I like to mix it up a bit and get into the numbers in that as well. But let's get kind of the headlines first, kind of how we start the show usually. So again, Russell Wilson was traded to Denver for Noah Fant, Drew Locke, Shelby Harris, 2 first-round picks and 2 second-round picks. So quite the haul for Seattle for what Russell Wilson. We've been talking about it all year on the show, if you're a regular listener, about how him and Pete Carroll, things have been going a little bit sideways. Wilson's been kind of wanting out of Seattle kind of behind the scenes. And I think this is proof that that is true. He is in Denver now. They have a new coach. They have Hackett from Green Bay coming in. Who's an offensive-minded coach. I think this gives all the guys in Denver a big uptick. I think you look at, you know, Noah Fant left, unfortunately. He doesn't get to experience the good quarterback. But you got Jerry Jeudy, Javonte Williams, we'll get to later in the show. But it's a lot of pieces on that team to be pretty successful early. They're in a top division. They got Herbert and Mahomes, KC, and even the Raiders have been pretty tough in some ways. So definitely top division, interesting spot. But Russell Wilson's in Denver. So that's something that we'll talk about too in terms of his card price, if we think that's going to affect him at all in a positive or negative way. Carson Wentz, definitely an interesting trade. He was basically traded for 2 third-round picks, maybe 1 third, 1 second, if conditionally. Very interesting that he's only there for 1 year. He's with his coach. They had the most success with in Philly and Frank Reich. Reich vouched for him and then also apologized to the owner for vouching for him and not working out. And they shipped him away on only 1 year. So just really interesting. Just kind of, that's pretty much to me, just kind of seals it for him. I mean, he could go to Washington, maybe have some success as a game manager, but I think really no reason to have anything Wentz investment wise. I don't see it going where, and I'm not even sure how much better he is than Taylor Heineke. I think it still will be a battle for them. I think Washington's trying to get options at the quarterback position. But they, overall, I thought fantasy projection said that Terry McLaurin with Heineke next year and Terry McLaurin with Wentz next year. And it was the exact same point output for fantasy with McLaurin versus with the both quarterbacks. So not a huge upgrade, but he is on the move. It does make things interesting in Indianapolis. Like, so what's their plan for quarterback? They still don't have anything there. Do they really like Sam Ellinger? Is that somebody you want to kind of get some rookie cards on the cheap? Or do they have a plan in the draft? Or are they going to try to make a run at Watson or some of these guys that are kind of being dangled out there? So very interesting to see what happens there in Indy. Things are looking good for Watson. He's escaped basically all serious charges, so he won't be charged. His prices have gone up in terms of his sales. People are starting to get a little bit excited about the prospects of where he could land. Seattle is a big play for him right now, and so is the Panthers have been trying to make a big play for him. There's a little bit of rumors that Pittsburgh might try. Even the Colts might try. So a lot of speculation where Watson could go. And with that, there's a lot of excitement in his cards. And I do think he is being a little bit overhyped in his cards right now. And we'll talk about that when we get to the quarterback pricing for the year. But in general, there is a lot of opportunity for him to land a great spot. But what's that mean? Is he going to be in a Super Bowl contender in that spot? Or is it just going to be Watson similar to the Texans where really great fantasy numbers, really great quarterback, but not quite getting it done when it comes to the playoffs and going forward? We'll see. We'll see what happens there. Rodgers, the other big news is Rodgers decided to stay in Green Bay. So obviously they're going to have to make some cuts and do some money moves to kind of keep him, especially if they want to keep Adams. I think that's the next question now, is that if they're keeping Rodgers, are they going to be able to afford to keep Adams? So they can backload those deals with both of them so they can have them long-term, because I know they want to stay together. So definitely interested to see what Green Bay does there. But I think that's good for Rodgers' cards. Rodgers, it's nice to see a guy in the same uniform for a long time. And Rodgers is a guy, he still thinks a lot to do in Green Bay. I think he still needs to win another championship, had another MVP season last year, but fell up short in the playoffs again. So it'd be really good for his cards if he can just continue playing at a high level, MVP level, and adding a ring or two on the way out would be great for him. And then just literally like an hour or two ago, Amari Cooper was traded to Cleveland for a fifth and sixth round pick. There's a lot of rumors that Dallas is going to cut him. So basically a fifth and sixth round pick is just kind of icing to Dallas. Apparently there was some locker room issues of him not happy with Dak and how Dak played in the playoffs and got into it with him. And I'm not sure if that broke it or if they're just trying to clear cap, because we'll see. But definitely going to change the look of that team for sure. And we'll talk about Dallas a little bit later in the show as well. Since it's kind of the first show since the Super Bowl, since like I said, we talked, Chris and I, Leroy and I talked a lot about retail and whatnot and different aspects of the hobby on the last show. So if you haven't checked that out, please check that out. But we didn't really get into the Super Bowl review. So I want to just kind of talk about my thoughts of the Super Bowl. It did go as I kind of thought it was going to go in terms of the Rams pressure ended up winning the game, which it did. Aaron Donald and the pressure of the Rams kind of sealed it for them down the stretch. But the Bengals played terrific. I think they're undermanned in terms of the talent. It's basically a home game for the Rams, and Burrow and Chase were one play away from winning that. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the footage of Jamar Chase had Ramsey. He fell down, and Chase had a chance to score on that last drive if Burrow had just a half a second longer to see him, but he didn't. So Bengals are really promising. If you're a Bengals fan, if you're a Burrow collector, a Chase collector, like kind of like me, I'm big Chase right now. I think these guys are going to be a great duo for a long time, and I think this is a young team that's going to be around for a while. They have a really good position in terms of cap to kind of build that O-line for the next year or two with draft picks and money. If they can get that going and get Burrow protected better, this team could be scary, especially in the AFC North where Big Ben's out. They don't have a quarterback currently. We'll talk about that as well. Obviously, Browns are kind of up and down with Baker, and then same thing, Lamar's been up and down with the Ravens. So that division's still relatively tough, but definitely in a position where the Bengals can take control of it. So kind of going to the product update just a little bit. So Contenders just released this last week. You know, it's typical Contenders. Base is worthless, autos are monsters, but there's a lot of bad autos, so you just got to kind of weather that. Just a couple of quick sales that I saw in terms of Contenders. Mac Jones SP out of 49 sold for $2,400. I wasn't a break where I saw the Zach Wilson car that sold. It's pretty cool that they have a little SP variation, low numbered auto. Pretty fun chase this year when it comes to that. Javonte Williams, just base auto 98. Mac Jones, base auto 1300. Najee Harris, base auto 147. Just a couple of quick sales I gathered before the show. But yeah, Contenders is great for autos. It's an auto-only product. I think that it's so high-end in terms of getting in breaks and whatnot for the good teams that you got to kind of really decide if it's just going to be worth just to buy it, especially when they start to come down a bit in price. So definitely looking at Contenders. It's a good auto product, but it's just such a tough product to break. Playoff was also released. I'm not a huge fan of it. It's a secondary product, but it's also retail as well. So if you're looking for retail, you can maybe find some of that. Speaking of retail, I did find some Mosaic up here in Canada this last week. I got a couple hangers, two blasters, and a cello. I love the cards. The cards are great. It's definitely, I paid way too much for all of it. I think it's about $50 a blaster in Canada for Mosaic. So that's about, you know, it's about a 1.2 exchange rate. So you're looking at about 41 US, but 50 Canadian for a blaster. It was 35 for hanger and 24 for a cello. I felt like the hangers had the best value. It's nice to get the, for sure, reactives and the colors, and you also get parallels on top of that. So I kind of liked the odds and the hangers the best without doing much research into the odds they put on the packaging. But overall, pretty good. I had a couple good colors, a nice reactive Najee Harris, but nothing big for quarterbacks, but still a fun rip. I really enjoyed the product. Phoenix comes out April 7th. Panini Kin Case comes out April 13th. Prism pushed back to April 27th. It's pretty close to draft weekend, so see if there's any push that. It's kind of weird. We're drafting the 2022 guys while we're still trying to get the basic rookies out of Prism for 2021 guys. So things are pushed back quite a bit. It'd be really weird to see when Optic comes out. Optic could almost be middle of the summer, which would be quite interesting to see it be that late, almost to training camp time. So, but anyways, that's kind of the little product update of what's going on in the football card world. As I discussed on the previous show, I did break down. I took out the top 12 quarterbacks value-wise. And I just looked at them from preseason sales to end of season sales, and I kind of got their high point. Overall, it's not good in terms of going up versus going down. So kind of give you the tidbits of it, and then I'll kind of pick out some key ones. I don't want to read the list to you. But of the taking all the sales of the preseason added up for those 12 guys and all the sales of the end of the season, there's a 20% drop from that. So it was about $35,000, almost $36,000 for the preseason, and then about 29,000 for the end of season. So 20% drop of quarterbacks across. Every quarterback dropped except for one, and the one is going to shock you, Deshaun Watson. And I gave him the recent sales. He's had a couple sales of 793, which is his high for the since September. And we know that's because he's now proven innocent, that he's good to go. So there's some excitement right there. But even before that, he was still up about 20, 30% and still the only guy that's up in his sales from beginning of the year. Beginning of the year, Watson was 520, had a couple sales, 793. But as I mentioned, he had some around, he was around 600 before the good news of his being basically proven innocent. So very interesting to see a guy sit out a whole year and be the only guy that gains value. So other guys, just kind of, we'll just kind of go through a couple here, but Brady is pretty status quo. He's basically the same, 16,100 preseason to 15,800 with a high of 26K. So a 2% down change for him. Some kind of notables that I just tweeted out. If you follow me, make sure to follow me at @numbers_behind. Also, write and review the show, guys. Give me comments of words of encouragement or anything you can do to help me improve the show for you. But I put on Twitter, Aaron Rodgers dropped 43% since preseason, 4,500 down to 2,600. And then he had a 6,000 sale in between there. So he's very up and down. 6,000 right around his MVP. Kind of everybody forgot who's winning MVP. So you can kind of see that those kind of plays are valuable in this hobby. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, he was down 32%, 9,000 down to 6,251 with that 9,000, almost 9,100 being his high. Let's see a couple other guys here. Josh Allen and Stafford both down 38-34% from their preseason to end. Stafford's is interesting. He's 1,100 at the start of the year with excitement of him being the Rams. After his Super Bowl win, he did have an 1,800 sale, and then he's down to around 800. So kind of a weird just little fall off. I don't know if there's just a little bit of Stafford collectors or what, but he's been very volatile in terms of his movement throughout the year. He's had some weird high and low sales all year. Burrow, after his Super Bowl win, 340 preseason, 310 end of year. He had 734 was his high, and that was after beating Mahomes. So basically a drop of 9% over the entire season. Herbert dropped 22% on the season. Russell Wilson down 21% from the preseason. Dak, one of the biggest fallers, 884 to 430 from preseason to postseason, 52% drop. Couple other big drops here. Lamar Jackson dropped 54%. He's down to 310 right now. Kyler Murray down 58%. I believe he is the biggest drop overall. He is fifth of these 12. He's 58% down, 397 to 168 right now with a high of 500 in there when they're playing well in about week four is that when that price was pulled. So just really overall, they're just down. Overall, they're down. I think there's a lot of reasons for that. Market's down. There's no football going on right now, so pulling prices right now isn't ideal, but still seeing where they were preseason versus postseason is a good gauge. I think, like I said, Brady is kind of, to me, a very good indicator of the overall market since he's high-end. So those high-end prices are pretty stable for him, but these guys that really haven't proven much are kind of the guys that are still trying to build their careers. You can see they fall off pretty fast when the interest goes away. So, but yeah, and then another interesting note I want to make when I pulled these prices for you guys is that there were 17 sales for Watson yesterday on March 11th after he was kind of announced that he's good to go. And they were all between 650 and 900. And so those are really hard to kind of gauge in terms of being real or being, you know, are we seeing some shield stuff there? Some one guy just said, I'm buying all the Watsons I can find on eBay, and he did that. So really interesting that there were 17 sales in March 11th. Something to kind of pay attention there. We'll see if all those get confirmed at some point. So, all right. So I did want to move into my five off-season buys. I did kind of pair two guys, so it's really six guys, but I'll kind of start with them. Obviously, with the Russell Wilson news, I think that gives that Broncos team a bump. I was a big believer in Jerry Jeudy preseason last season, and that was before he hurt his ankle, and they just couldn't get a quarterback situation to really help maximize his talent. But we still saw the talent with him once he got the ball in his hands, and I think Russell Wilson's going to be great for him. I think Wilson's good at getting the ball in space. I think Judy's really going to be a great intermediate guy, getting the ball on crossing routes, getting the ball quick hits and stuff like that, and get the ball in his space and just go. And I think Wilson's going to be great for him in that. And with that, I think Javonte Williams on the 2021 product is going to be he's a steal. Denver is dirt cheap in every pick your team you can find. And I just think he has really high-end talent. I don't want to say Jonathan Taylor because I think Taylor has more overall talent, but Javonte is very underrated in terms of the running back position. I think that he could have a really big year next year receiving and rushing. He was just tough to tackle last year. Very rarely the first guy get him. So I'm pretty big on Javonte Williams. I've been grabbing Denver a lot in pick your team breaks, and I suggest you do the same if you want a little bit of a quick hit running back guy that gains a lot of value. Javonte's been climbing the dynasty ranks in fantasy football quite a bit. Another guy, CeeDee Lamb. I just went back to him just because Amari Cooper's on his way out to Cleveland, and Michael Gallup's a free agent. They may bring him back, but if not, then a lot of targets are up for grabs, and that means a lot of those targets are going to be going to CeeDee Lamb instead of spreading it out to their, you know, they had Schultz, Cooper, Gallup, and then also Cedric Wilson came on late, so they had a lot of mouths to feed, and if, you know, two of the main guys leave, it's really big for Lamb and his target share. So I will be looking at CeeDee Lamb some more, even he's already a PC guy being a Cowboy. Another guy that I think is a little bit undervalued, and I think it's just because the team disappointed, is Najee Harris. I think that if they get a quarterback, even like Jimmy Garoppolo, anybody that can just be better than Big Ben was, which wasn't going to be hard to do, and no offense to Ben, he just wasn't great last year. I think Najee's the guy that can just have a monster year from a fantasy perspective, kind of that breakout year like Jonathan Taylor. Now, it's funny to say breakout because already Najee had 384 touches last year, 1,700 total yards, 10 touchdowns. So that was a massive rookie year, and I think he can improve upon that. That's the scary part. I think we can look at over 2,000 total yards, 15 touchdowns, and that's a RB1 type season. I think he definitely can do it. So definitely looking at him. I'm going to keep my guy on here just because it's a guy that's been beating the drum for a long time. But I think Jonathan Taylor is still a buy. Even if it's just you're buying him in the offseason and selling right before the season, because he's going to be RB1. He's going to be on top of all the fantasy magazines for the RB first pick. He's probably going to be first pick in most standard drafts. So I just think that exposure and people looking at Jonathan Taylor, it's going to just keep upticking as this season gets closer. So even if it's that's the play, but I do think he's going to have another monster year. I do think they'll find a quarterback that they can at least move the ball. I mean, that's the hope. But even if they don't, they can go back to how it was, you know, year before with Rivers, and he still was really effective. That O-line makes things easy either way. So still buying Jonathan Taylor this offseason for sure. I did sneak Russell Wilson in there. I did think he's undervalued even before the trade. And then just the excitement of the trade, a new landing spot, you know, in a team that he can compete with now for a championship, I think there's a good opportunity there. As I read up there, his prices are still quite cheap. Let's kind of review that real quick here. He is $737 for his towel down PSA 10 prism. So, and that's a relatively low prop for that card as well. So like Wilson is a buy. I'm still hammering Trevor Lawrence. So he has picked up some steam in terms of pick your team prices. He's getting closer and closer to max, like pick your team prices for different breaks. So the Jaguars kind of being down there with the Bears and stuff isn't really happening anymore. So that kind of value has been lost. But his singles and stuff are still, you know, I think available and they're decently priced. I think that, again, I'm just kind of trusting that Doug Peterson's pro approach, offensive mind, is going to be a huge upgrade from Urban Meyer. Can't get much worse than what Urban Meyer was bringing in terms of limiting Lawrence's talent with the dink and dunk offense and all the things he was doing off the field to distract the team. I think it's going to be refreshing, and I'm just hoping that Trevor Lawrence take advantage of that. So those are the guys I'm looking at for sure. So, again, Judy, Javonte Williams in Denver, CeeDee Lamb, Najee, Jonathan Taylor, Russell Wilson, and Trevor Lawrence. All right. And kind of close up the show here. I just wanted to do five takeaways from the 2021 season. Just the biggest one, this is at my own team, so I'm throwing a little bit of rocks at a glass house here. But Dallas is getting old. I mean, Zeke and Dak are just not the players that we think they are. I think their perception in the hobby and perception in Dynasty is also just going down in terms of fantasy. Dak, you know, he still showed some signs last year that he was the same old Dak, but I don't know if that shoulder got fatigued. But in the year, his zip and his throwing ability did not look as sharp. And then Zeke has declined every year for the last 3 or 4 years in terms of his production and just making guys miss and being that dominant back that he used to be. So Dallas has run out of time. I mean, they're going to be in a really tough spot as a franchise because if, you know, they're not getting much from Zeke and Dak's not, you know, the best Dak we've seen, they're going to still be a competitors in that NFC East. And so they're still not going to be high draft picks. And so they're just going to kind of keep being mediocre. They're not going to get a lot of these opportunities to make runs. They'll, you know, maybe win that week NFC East and lose in the first round. And if that's the pattern, it's going to be very tough for that franchise to kind of get out of that rut of not being able to win those playoff games that the fans of Dallas are still quite upset about. So long story short, I think Dallas is running out of time. I think we might, if they kind of struggle or if they don't, if a very similar season happens next year, I think it'd be not even just McCarthy being gone. I think it might be Dak and Zeke in a full-on rebuild type deal. So definitely seeing what happens with Dallas next year. I just put Chase and Jefferson are going to be monsters. You know, Chase, obviously a monster, one of the best rookie receiving years we've seen. Jefferson, one of the best first 2 years start we've ever seen. They're just strong receivers. I think are going to be really good in this league for a long time. I know that quarterbacks is where the money's at, but if I'm going to put some money in some players that aren't quarterbacks, I think that these guys have a chance to have some very nice Hall of Fame type careers that they're going to be fun to watch and have our attention in fantasy and in the hobby for a long time. So definitely be chasing Chase as more product comes out in 2021. It's definitely my kind of target for the summer. Brady retiring, be interesting to see how his value does over the next couple of years. If, you know, it's also going to be interesting in terms of our rookie reports because he was an outlier. He was just so much higher than anybody else. So it kind of leveled the playing field in terms of reality. I think not that everybody expected a Justin Herbert rookie to get to 16,000 like a Brady rookie because the pop reports and all that stuff. But it just kind of like maybe makes that lottery ticket rookie card of the future maybe get out of people's mind a little bit. That's not as realistic as you think because he was still playing for so long. So very interesting to see what happens to his rookie cards and very interesting to see how that maybe affects the overall active quarterback rookie cards for next year. AFC is loaded with quarterbacks. You know, they just Mahomes, Allen, Herbert. I mean, now they have Russell Wilson, Joe Burrow, Mac Jones, Lamar Jackson. It'll be a very exciting but tough conference to come out of for the Super Bowl for the next few years. So it's a little bit kind of a double-edged sword there. It's exciting for that conference to have that type of competition. But then also, you know, only one guy can really benefit it from going to the Super Bowl. And this year was Burrow. Next year it could be Wilson. And the year after that could be Herbert or Mahomes. It's just be very difficult to have a I mean, I think we can already say there's not going to be a Tom Brady type run ever again, but this AFC and the strength of those quarterbacks is going to kind of prove that to even be more difficult to have a very consistent year in, year out contender in the AFC. And the last thing, I think it's going to be exciting QB carousel. I mean, we have a very interesting Wilson trade that happened already. We have Wentz on the move. We have a lot of teams desperate for quarterback, whether it's the Saints, Seattle, Panthers, so many teams are desperate for a quarterback and a very weak quarterback class. So there's going to be some pretty, I think, aggressive moves, especially for Watson. And we might be like, wow, that's a lot. But at the end of the day, they need that to be successful to get that quarterback. So we might see some overpay even on some guys that aren't even that good. I mean, even small guys like Jameis Winston. I mean, he didn't play bad till he got hurt. We'll see what he does going forward. But I'm pretty excited for the quarterback carousel as this draft class is relatively weak. So these free agents and possible guys that can move are probably going to get a pretty penny. So that's it for the end of the season show. Hope you guys enjoyed the season two of Behind the Numbers. I will continue to improve the content for you when it comes to football. I do have some plans to do a couple of things baseball within my show as well. Some prospect stuff. Just kind of get back to those numbers things. So I kind of might be switching my tone a bit to actually getting behind the numbers of the other products as well and other sports. So again, I appreciate you guys being with me. Please rate and review the show. And I appreciate you guys supporting the show and checking it out. Have a great weekend.